Welcome to an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma give their opinions on the latest happenings surrounding Yankees baseball, as well as dive into the hottest topics in the sports world. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Emanating from the office of myself. I don't even know if that's correct English. It is the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma.
And yo,
this is the Yankees 2012 post-mortem edition of the podcast. And we're just going to jump right into this. And I'm going to start by talking about some of the press conferences that came out of Yankee Stadium in the middle of September when the Yankees didn't win two games back-to-back for a calendar month. We're not built that way. We're not the Bronx Bunters. This was coming from the mouth of Joe Girardi, responding to a reporter asking him about what Kevin Long said the night before about possibly playing a little small ball to get going. We're not built that way. We're not the Bronx Bunters. 2 weeks ago, I told someone who works here at Yes that those two statements would be etched, lasered, onto the Yankees' gravestone for the 2012 season. They scored a total of six runs. Six. In the Tigers' four-game sweep. Four of those came in game one. So the next three games, they scored a grand total of two runs.
Right.
Two. So a grand total of six runs for the whole series. Delmon Young of the Tigers had six RBI. He matched by himself the entire Yankees output in the LCS. Now, this is the playoffs as a whole. And everybody is quick to put the blame, all the blame, or most of the blame, on Alex Rodriguez. Not fair. Not fair. This is why. Alex Rodriguez, Nick Swisher, Curtis Granderson, Robinson Cano, and Eric Chavez combined in the entire postseason to go 14 for 141. To put this into some kind of perspective, those five guys who usually carry this team all season had 14 hits. Between the five of them, Ichiro had 11 by himself. Can't say anything bad about Ichiro. Can't say anything bad about Derek Jeter. Can't say anything bad about Raul Ibanez. They're basically the three guys that hit the ball. And Eduardo Nunez. Who knew?
Teixeira was decent.
Teixeira was good too. 14 for 141. That, boys and girls, is an average just under 100 at .099. They weren't even on the interstate. And here's the breakdown singularly. Eric Chavez, 0 for 16, 8 strikeouts. A-Rod, 3 for 25, 12 strikeouts. Swisher, 5 for 30, 2 extra base hits, 2 ribbies. Robinson Cano, 3 for 40, including that 0 for 29. This is after the last nine games of the season where he couldn't miss. He hit .621 the last nine games of the season. Curtis Granderson, 3 for 30.
And over half of those are
strikeouts. 16
strikeouts. 16 strikeouts.
Okay. Now we go to the Tigers pitching. The lowest LCS ERA since 1985. The 1990 A's lead the pack with an even one ERA. The Dave Stewart years, they were sick.
Yep.
And Eckersley, who still had the same hair that he does now on TBS. The 95 Braves, of course, Glavin, Maddox, Smoltz, 115. And the 2012 Tigers, third, 138. Conversely, the Yankees' offense combined in nine postseason games, 60 for 320. That is a 188 average, which is the lowest postseason average with a minimum of seven games played. This team, which lived by the home run this year and also died by not hitting it.
Yeah.
Go look it up. And I took flack on Twitter for them tying a game on a home run, and someone got right on me and said some choice words that I can't say on this podcast. And gave me crap. And I was 100% right. As Matt Damon said, how do you like them apples? They hit 7 home runs in 9 games. Not enough. And that's why they're back home cleaning out their lockers. In 320 at-bats, they struck out 83 times. 25%, a quarter of their at-bats. The mighty Yankees, the Bronx Bombers, not the Bronx Bunners, remember. A quarter of the time they walked to the plate, they struck out. Can't blame this on Alex Rodriguez. You also can't blame this on Joe Girardi. You also can't blame this on Kevin Long. Okay? They didn't have sticks in their hands at the plate. They're not the ones that went silent when they went up to bat. Joe Girardi doesn't hit. Neither does Kevin Long. And if you had an issue, everybody had the issue with Alex Rodriguez. Some people wanted a bench because he's throwing a ball up to the girls in the stands. And, you know, the argument all week is if he was hitting, no one would have shaken a stick at that. I tend to disagree. And really quick. And here's why. You're in a tight game, one of the ALCS, with your team trying to advance to the World Series. Shouldn't your focus be on the game? Now, I know guys have done this all the time. And it's fine if you're in Toronto in June and you throw a ball up to a girl that you want to meet after the game. Not in October. Not in game one of the ALCS, and not when your team just struggled to come back after you got benched. How about getting in the dugout and getting behind your team? See, that's the problem. It's a me attitude. Me, 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 me. That's what it seems like. And it seems like they gave up, Joe. Maybe it's just me, but that's what... looking through it on the television, it just looked like, whatever.
Well... you know, there's two instances where I mentioned, you know, about Robinson Cano, and we all know that he doesn't bust it out of the box. We all know this. He does it all year. But at one point when he was 0 for 24, and he had that swinging bunt, and he legitimately could have made it. Legitimately could have made it. If you're not going to bust it down the line when you're 0 for 24, when are you ever going to bust it down the line? So... you know, that was one instance. And then last night in the elimination game, Robinson Cano, once again, you know, the Yankees are down 7-1 at that point, hits a ball that Prince Fielder actually got to in the hole, had a very good shot of, you know, busting it down the line and making it, and again, was jogging. We all know he does this, so we have to, I guess, live with it. But, again, get a rally going. I mean, I know they're down 6 runs, but to me, that was a give-up. That was a give-up. That was the ultimate, we've given up.
Let me ask you this, because one of my friends on Facebook, who is a Red Sox fan, and was very objective when he posted this, he said that the Red Sox and Yankees have taken away teams that grit and grind and go after it, and do whatever they have to do to win ball games. And if you watch a Cardinal game in St. Louis, if you watch a Giant game in San Francisco, if you watch a Tiger game in Detroit, or before that in Oakland, when you have Quentin Berry from the Detroit Tigers say to the media after game 2 at Yankee Stadium, yeah, it's not tough to play here. That, to me... spoke volumes. That was if somebody put a huge speaker on the Empire State Building and said that. Because that wasn't the case ever at Yankee Stadium. And by the way, the old place, game 5 against the Orioles. I went on just to see if there were tickets left.
I don't want to hear, because I brought up the fact that
It was 5 o'clock and you couldn't get there because of traffic.
I don't want to hear that.
No, I don't want to hear it either.
That never would have happened in the old place.
You would have went on and you would have been able to maybe find single seats. Never anything together.
That game could have been at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Sold
out. There are 9 million people in New York City alone. That's not including the Yankee fans that are coming down from Connecticut, New York State, Long Island, and New Jersey. I'm sorry. You're wrong, people.
Yeah, you're wrong.
You're totally off base.
And you know why?
Stop drinking the Kool-Aid.
Because in games one and game two of the ALCS, plenty of good seats then, too. Plenty.
Bottom line is, Chris, they get swept for just the fifth time in any postseason history, in any postseason series in the history of this franchise. They scored in 3 innings. In 39 possible innings in the American League Championship Series, going 20 scoreless at one point. This team had opportunities, and they failed. They're just... Look, the bottom line is there. It was going to come to a point where they were going to not be able to rely on Raul Labanez's magic after a certain time.
He can't do it all. The man is 40 years old, and I'm glad you brought up Ibanez before I go on another route. But Johnny Peralta, you know, changing that night, he must have had to throw those underwear away, because Raul Ibanez, who's 40, and who's not, he's big. He's not, you know, Brett Gardner.
Right.
Hit a ground ball to short and almost beat it out by a half step.
I know.
And if that guy who's 40, if you're Robbie Cano and you're sitting on the bench and you see that, and that doesn't light a fire under, you're not a competitor. You're not. You don't want to win.
My other argument here is that even with CC Sabathia's bad performance in Game Four, you cannot blame the pitching in this entire.
The pitching was great. The pitching kept them in every game.
Bottom line is, Chris.
And if it wasn't for CC Sabathia, they don't make it past the Orioles.
Bottom line, Chris. Without CC Sabathia, Hiroki Kuroda, Phil Hughes, and Andy Pettitte, these games are blowouts. I mean, every day.
Wasn't even close. You know why you had those heart attacks, Yankee fans? Because of the starting pitching and the bullpen.
And you know what? And when it came down to it, if I had told you that the Yankees pitching would have pitched the way they did, and in 9 games, they'd end up 3-6 in the postseason, would you have, like, just looked at me and said, you're absolutely crazy? 3-6, Chris.
All right. Here's
in a 9-game stretch.
Here's an email I just got from my dad. Talk about, like, perfect timing out of Big Willie. Players are saying they were unnerved by the booing at the stadium during Game 2. What a bunch of...
malarkey.
Well...
If we're going to go the Joe Biden route.
What a bunch of you-know-what. And he wishes Mr. S was still around and still in charge.
Joel Sherman.
And me and Anthony Greek were just talking about this in the studio before I taped the Sports Sprint. If they couldn't take the booing, like... These guys didn't play at the old Yankees. Was Teixeira on the team in 08?
No.
No. So he never played at the old place. Neither did Swisher.
Right.
Listen, Yankee fans are very good fans. They pay a lot of money to go see a product on the field. And when that product doesn't perform, they have every damn right to boo whoever it is. I don't care what kind of track record you have. I don't care what this is, and I've always said this. It's when Twitter came around, I said this about New York fans. And I'm one of them. So I admit it. I'm the same way. I'm not putting them down. I'm in the group.
Right.
I grew up here. It is a Janet Jackson society. What have you done for me lately? I don't care about the 5 rings you won. I don't care about the 27 world championships, unless I'm in an argument with one of my friends who's a Mets fan. Then you care about the 27 world championships. I care about what you did tonight. That is a New York fan. We used to joke about it in college, and my best friend down there, I went to school near Philly, and we had a radio show, we had a sports show, and we always used to say, a guy will come up and strike out, and everybody will be screaming, booing, cut him, cut him, and in his next bat, a little home run, woo, we love you, yes. It is a, it's Janet Jackson, What Have You Done For Me Lately, and it's Billy Joel, I Go to Extremes. That's how fans are. They're fanatical. That's the base word.
And that's the other thing. I saw a lot of Yankee fans on Twitter and Facebook and saying, you know, you shouldn't boo your own team.
Now, that's wrong. That's wrong.
I'm sorry. These people are paying a lot of money
to go see. These people have every right to boo. Here, and I'm going to let's discuss what we discussed off camera
right,
or off mic. And I brought up the fact, and then I'll let you say what you said. But I said, think about this. Think about going to a Broadway show. And then Joe really put the cherry on top of this one. I was way off. And I'll let him tell you what he said. This was the conversation we had. Go to a Broadway show where there's A-list celebrities galore. It's your favorite show. You can't wait. It's not even opening night. It's just, you know, whenever. You go and you find out that the, not the stand-ins, but like the drop-down menu, like the fifth actor for every part is filling in for your A-list celebrities, and they fumble and mumble through every line, and the place stinks. And you spend $500 a ticket, what are you going to do? And then Joe put it into better perspective with what he said.
I said, it's like paying that money to go to a Broadway show, seeing your A-list celebrities, them actually being on stage and not being able to perform, fumbling through lines and just being god-awful. These people that you love, these people that you worship, these celebrities, not being able to get through a play in which you spent a lot of money.
I'm not ignorant, and neither is Joe. We both understand the game of baseball, and we both understand that, hey, you know, sometimes you go cold. But with the Yankees, it's been the past 3 years.
The entire team.
Past 3 years. And my father has told me since I started playing baseball, since I put a glove on my hand, my dad has told me, and we just had this conversation the other day, great pitching will go through any great lineup any day. And that has happened the past 3 years. 2010, it was the Rangers. Last year, guess who it was? The Detroit Tigers in the DS. And this year, it's the Tigers again.
Look, bottom line is Joel Sherman, and to your father's point, Joel Sherman had a great article the other day where he, you know, basically brought up all of these excuses that the Yankees have been saying, too, through this entire postseason. Oh, well, bad umpiring. Yeah, you know, the Jeff Nelson play at second base. And I had arguments with people, you know, myself. But the bottom line is I get your point where it's a much different game if it's 1-0 or 3-0. You know, if that play, you know, that Jeff Nelson play doesn't happen, you know, it's still a 1-0 game. Bottom line is 1-0, 3-0 might as well be 1,000-0. Because at that point, they weren't scoring any runs. So I don't want to hear about the umpiring. This is also a team that has benefited from so many calls over the past years in their favor that now all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, we want instant replay. When, you know, Joe Mauer hits a ball down the line that's clearly fair that Phil Cuzzi completely blows the call on. Okay, so that's one. The other one that he brought up, and I agree with, is the fact that, you know, the scheduling. Okay, well, you know what? If you had taken care of business in game 4 of the ALDS, you would have had your Friday off and you would have had your ace in game 1. So I don't want to hear that. Then you throw it on the fans. Oh, the fans hurt our feelings. You know what? Boo-hoo. Boo-hoo.
Well, this is what John Harper, New York Daily
News. So I give Sherman kudos for that article.
And John Harper, today's New York Daily
News. Sorry, I'm blowing my nose.
That's all right, whatever. It's that time of the year. The ball club was affected by the hostility from the fans at Yankee Stadium last weekend. And I before I go there, I think Alex Rodriguez handled his benching as a true professional.
I actually think A-Rod's handled everything pretty well.
You can't get on him for anything. He handled everything magnificently.
And A-Rod actually said about the booing, You know, if I was paying that money,
I would
boo too.
Thank you for bringing that up, because that was one of the main reasons I wanted to bring that up. But here's Nick Swisher. I really think the booing spooked a lot of guys. Or no, not Nick Swisher. I apologize. It was a player. He didn't name the player. So I apologize to Nick Swisher there. I really think the booing spooked a lot of guys, the player said. A lot of guys hadn't been booed before, and they couldn't believe how nasty it got in the stands. Obviously, Nick Swisher admitted to being sensitive to such treatment after Game 2, but the player said Swisher was far from alone in his reaction. A lot of guys were talking about it in the clubhouse, he said. I was surprised by how much it bothered them. I really don't think they ever recovered. And the next line says it all. And you got to give John Harper the credit. If that's true, well, so much for the big bad Yankees.
Yeah. What happened to these Yankees that... You know, bottom line is, Chris, we've been watching this team for a very long time. Very, very, very long time. And, you know, we've seen bad teams, we've seen good teams. And we've seen teams that haven't been able to, you know, get it in the end but make the playoffs. This, to me, was a total embarrassment, a total disgrace, and just showed that there is a need for change on this team in 2013.
Big time change. And you know what? Not just change in the sense of change, but how about a team that plays baseball? The way the 96 Yankees played baseball. They weren't waiting for a five-run homer to get back into a game.
And that goes to my other point. On some Yankee forums, I saw someone say, well, if they get rid of Alex Rodriguez, they need to bring in somebody.
Josh Hamilton. Stop. Please.
But that wasn't even where I was going. They said they need to bring in a third baseman that's going to have as good of, if not better, production. And my point has been, you know, when the Yankees lost Wade Boggs, when Boggs was basically no more, you know, wasn't really a factor anymore on this team,
mm-hmm.
okay? Kind of at the end of his Yankee career.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They had Kenny Rogers on the team. They mm-hmm. traded him to Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know what? To fill that void, we're going to bring in a guy who hit 203 with 11 home runs, 41 RBIs, plays a solid defense, and you know what? Might give us a little more production than that 203 that we're seeing in Oakland in a better hitting ballpark
right.
in Yankee Stadium.
And around a better lineup.
That man was Scott Brosius, who was a spark plug at the back end of the lineup. Now, did he put up the big numbers? No, he didn't put up the big numbers. But you know what? He came through when it mattered. He was gritty. He was gutty. And that is the type of player that you can get. You don't need to go out and get a superstar. It doesn't need to be a team full of names.
No. Look at the Cardinals.
The team that won 4 championships in 5 years was not a team full of names.
Descalzo? He's a household name? Cosma? He's a household name?
Just saying.
That's what you got to look at. You got to look at the National League and how they've won the World Series the past how many years? 3. No, 2, sorry.
And the Yankees and the Tigers have built themselves around 3 superstars. Justin Verlander in their rotation,
and
Prince
Fielder
and their Triple Crown winner Cabrera. Everybody else, they're good players.
No, that's not for,
they're
forget
not
about Delman Young.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Well, boy, was he a Yankee killer. He was like Manny Ramirez-esque in that ALCS. But anyway, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how different this Yankee team looks when pitchers and catchers report in February. But again, just to hammer it home.
You're hearing all these things now at a Yankees camp saying, well, Alex is going to be back next year. You know, everybody from the top down, Alex is going to be back next year. But how many times have we heard that? And I'm not trying to get on the Yankees management. But how many times have we heard things where they say one thing and they go out and do another thing? I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but to me,
that's every team and every sport.
To me, Chris, there is something more to the Alex Rodriguez benchings and pinch hittings
than
meets the eye. There is something more. Now, I'm not saying that they have a deal in the works or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what's going on behind
the
scenes.
Get Jesse Ventura on the case.
But I will tell you this. That had to be a missive coming down from management that it was okay to do what Joe Girardi did. And he turned out to be the scapegoat on a team that just couldn't hit collectively. Collectively.
Well, Alex Rodriguez had 532 at-bats this year, just to go back to this, and had 18 home runs. Eric Chavez had 278 at-bats and hit 16.
Right.
So everybody who had a problem, even though Chavez was 0-for in the postseason, anybody who had a problem with him playing third base?
My problem with Chavez playing third base in the postseason, I know Alex was, you know, 0-for the century against right-handers, but he had a good record against Verlander. Even if it was before he had gotten hurt.
That's my whole why thing you is, have to think what you just said is true.
My whole thing is, Alex Rodriguez is now being benched for a guy who's 0-for the century in the playoffs.
But this was my thing, too. If you looked at Rodriguez's at-bats against the Orioles, against Darren O'Day, who was throwing 85-mile-an-hour meatballs,
The
person I got into an argument here with said, he's a sidewinder. Okay, well, let's take it the extra mile. How'd he do against... Jason Hamill. Yeah. How do you do against Miguel Gonzalez? Both righties, both throw low 90s, 92, 93. How do you do against them, who are conventional over-the-top throwers? He couldn't catch up.
Can't make it up.
Here's the other thing, and, you know, I can't help but try to stick up for the man, because before he broke his wrist in Seattle, he was starting to hit the ball again. He was getting on a roll. So I can't rule out and... You know, he'll never say it, but I can't rule out that maybe his wrist wasn't good. You know, maybe he wasn't healed properly. And he came back and he tried. And, you know, if he does come back to the Yankees next year and he starts hitting again, no one's even going to remember that he was giving somebody his phone number or whatever, or asking for their phone number. You know, you can't just look at a salary and expect a guy to perform to that salary. That's baseball.
Yep.
That's the New York Yankees. That's how much players get paid here. That's just the way it is. Alex Rodriguez is not going to perform to his contract every season.
Right.
He's not. Those are just facts. And I don't think, again, I know that a lot of people get on me because I'm sticking up for him, a guy who makes $27 million a year. But you don't know. His wrist could have been bupkis. And that's because he looked fantastic. Until Felix Hernandez hit him with, by the way, a changeup that's 88 miles an hour. Felix Hernandez's changeup is 3 miles an hour quicker than O'Day's fastball. And it broke A-Rod's wrist. And until that point, he was destroying the ball once again, and everybody started getting excited. So maybe, just maybe, he couldn't catch up to these fastballs because the wrist was affecting his swing. And that's something you got to deal with. You can't just scream, oh, $27 million. That's not... Alex just signed the deal. That's what he was offered. And don't sit there for a second. If someone offered you $275 million over 10 years, you wouldn't sign immediately. And he's been the one, the only one, that has come out in the postgame show and said, I don't blame them for booing. If I was paying that much money to see what we're doing right now, I would boo too. At least he's copped to it. And he said, quote unquote, not all of the criticism, but most of the criticism I've taken in the 9 years I've been here, I've deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
He said it. He's copped to it. I don't have a problem with the man. I don't. I have to admit, I am kind of flip-flopping like a politician. I was upset at the world in the beginning of the week. And I guarantee if we did a podcast today, you would be saying, oh, run for president, Chris. But you know what? I'm glad we waited because I got a chance to take it in perspective-wise. And, you know, I disagree with the benching because when Jeter went down, they should have put the onus on Alex, even though if his wrist was bupkis.
Again, you know, that's where I say that I think there's something more to it.
There's something more to it. We'll never know. And unless,
well, we're going to know.
Unless Alex writes a book when he's done playing.
We're going to know, and we're probably going to know within the next couple of months whether Alex Rodriguez will be a part of this team or not, and if they can mend that relationship that they have with him. Because they could say all they want. Joe Girardi could tell me in his post-game press conference that he doesn't think he has to mend a relationship. But if he does, you know, he'll do whatever he has to do. I'm sorry. You have to mend a relationship. You do. Alex went from going and saying, you know what? I love Joe. It is what it is. He made the right call for the team. Then he went, stared and said, well, you know, it is what it is. And, you know.
Joe's been good to me.
But, you know, I'm not happy. So, there's a lot of storylines. And there's a lot that needs to be done with this Yankee team going into 2013. Because, bottom line is, we're not going to see the same team going into next year.
I don't think you're going to see Andy Pettitte in pinstripes next year either.
And he's saying he might not come back. He's already saying it.
I highly doubt Andy Pettitte will be back next year.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You never know.
I wouldn't doubt if Pettitte came back and was a Cardinal somewhere in the National League, somewhere where he could shore up a rotation. I think that could happen. I really do.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's going to be a Yankee next year.
You know, it's funny because the only guaranteed guys that you know
I don't think you'll see Kuroda.
I think you will. But, again, going into next year, the only guys that I think are guaranteed on seeing is CeCe.
Jeter.
Teixeira. Cano.
And Jeter.
Right.
Well, it's going to be an interesting offseason. And don't forget, you can catch all the latest buzz on, what is it called again? Yankees Hot Stove?
Yeah, no, Yankees Tonight.
Did they change the name?
Yeah, well, you know, Yankees Baseball Daily wasn't a daily show, so.
Oh, okay.
That's why they changed it.
Well, just come to Yes for all your off-season.
It starts on November 12th.
November 12th is when it starts, and you can check it out. and hopefully you made it through the entire podcast. I thought it was a good one, Joe.
Yeah, me coughing and sneezing through the entire
Who cares? It's that time of the year, like I said. And next week, I guess we'll start talking Giants football.
Yeah, you know, Nets basketball.
Nets basketball, Knicks basketball.
No hockey.
Get our good friend Al Iannazzone back.
In the zone.
We might get former Ranger defenseman who's now involved with the league who told me, don't expect any games before December 15th.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And now, you know, everybody gets this false hope every time they're going to meet. And now Bettman says they took three steps backwards.
They did take three steps back.
By the players' last three proposals. Yeah. So
the 50-50 was rejected.
So it turns out my source was right, and we might have good old Tommy on the show.
I think December 15th is starting to look more and more like a pipe dream at this point. Pipe dream. Can't afford to miss another season. Cannot afford to miss an entire season.
See, that's where Tom begs to differ. Tom Laidlaw, by the way, former Rangers defenseman, he said to me the last time, he said, how many lockouts or lockouts, as he said, have we had in the past 10 years? Three? 15 years, three? Mm-hmm. And he said the last lockout to now, before they locked out, their overall product was worth $2.2 billion. When they came back, it went up to $3.3 billion.
I see what he's saying.
The league is not worried. The league isn't.
They missed the whole season. In 04.
Right.
Okay. They lost a huge percentage of the fan base for a very long time. And I understand valuations.
They do come back.
But it took a long time.
It did, but...
And they are the fourth of the
Oh, the ratings are terrible.
In fact, NASCAR has moved ahead of them in certain perspectives. And those guys are going around a track. They're making four lefts.
That's why people want Bettman out of there, because every time hockey thinks they're just starting to claw their way into the ratings mix with all these other major sports, they go on another lockout, and it goes bupkis
again. Last year was the postseason that brought a lot of fans that had been soured on hockey back to the sport. It was an amazing run.
It was.
An amazing run. The major teams were in it. Upsets were happening all over the place. And you got a Stanley Cup champion that came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was amazing.
Just like Carl Spackler.
The Devils and the Rangers. We know what happened there. Chris?
Yeah, I remember, Joe.
Just
thanks.
Letting you know. Uh-oh, Chris's gopher.
My Caddyshack gopher is not working anymore.
I don't know if you, just on to end this on a funny note, yeah, I don't know if you saw, but, you know, Kelly Lynch came out. Her husband was the director of Scrooged.
Okay.
Okay. Who's friends with Bill Murray.
All right.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Bill Murray and his brothers, doesn't matter what time of day, where they are, if Roadhouse is on TV, Bill Murray will call Kelly Lynch's husband in Carl Spackler voice and say, "Hey, I'm at the part where you know, Kelly and Patrick Swayze are doing it. You know, he's got her pinned against the rocks again." And she said he called from Russia because it was on in Russia, and she said she prepares herself now. Because she, you know, Roadhouse is such a cult classic.
Oh, yeah.
That when she goes on Twitter, she knows when it's coming on because these people are tweeting about it. And she goes, "I'm prepared for Bill Murray or Brian Doyle or Joel."
Before you become a bouncer.
To call.
You have to watch Roadhouse.
She goes, without fail, every time. And she goes, "God forbid AMC is running a Roadhouse marathon." She said, "The phone is off the hook." Bill Murray calls and goes, "Hey, you know, it's we're up to that part again. We're Kelly's really, really getting it from Patrick Swayze there."
It looks like a wreck. It's in the hole.
It's in the hole.
Thank you for that, Joe. That's fantastic. And on that note,
yeah,
we will wrap up this edition of the Off the Wall podcast. As I said, next week we'll start delving into Giants football, Jets football, and the basketball season that is directly ahead. Hello, Brooklyn. The Brooklyn Nets start their first season at the Barclays Center. And that'll be coming up on our next podcast right here on YesNetwork.com. For Joe Oriam, I'm Chris Sheeran.
The Off the Wall podcast comes to you each week on iTunes and YesNetwork.com. If you like what you're listening to, simply subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you have an extra minute, leave a comment and rating.